from the beginning of the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And our second reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commanded for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And finally, we read from the Gospel of Luke. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the word of God.
Let us pray. God, we greet you once again in this sacred space, this time of gospel, this time of hope and faith, with the hope that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to the river. As I was with Moses, I will be with you and will never forsake you. That is God's word to Israel on their great transition from Moses to Joshua. Now Claire, and as we learned during children's time, Claire is starting kindergarten prep just over a week from now. And on one level, she is very excited. She's going to be a prepper. She's going into Mrs. Goodman's class. So many things are happening that have her so excited and looking forward. In fact, in her mind, in her brain at this point, she is actually starting school. She doesn't count the 2 years she's been at Bertha Godfrey as years of school, so she's starting school. It's only half a day. It's not quite kindergarten, but in her mind, it is school. And I've heard her remind Ian that he's not really in school yet, that he's only four, like we heard up here. And he's at a point, what she's saying is he's at a point on his journey that she's already been on. And of course, this excitement at the next stage is new. Last year, it was not this way. I can still remember when she finished three-year-old preschool with Mrs. Curtis, who is something of a rock star in the under-five crowd. It took a lot of coaxing and convincing to have her realize that four-year-old preschool might be good. Even though the faces of the teachers would change, that she would be able to say goodbye to Mrs. Curtis, goodbye to being in three-year-old preschool, and have good things still happen. We tried to explain to her that she had learned everything she could in Mrs. Curtis's class. We showed her all the fun she would have in the four-year-old program. We talked about how four-year-olds are so grown up, they get to go 4 days a week, which meant more time with her friends. We even reminded her that Mrs. Curtis wasn't really disappearing. She'd be right across the hall. She might see her on the playground. But even with that, even with meeting Mrs. Fettenwortick when they came to our house, which was a very big and exciting day for Claire, it was hard for her to envision what was next. All that she could see is what was coming to an end. She stood on one leg of the relay of school and was having trouble passing on that baton to the next teacher, the next person who would carry her along the journey of education. In Hebrews, we are following along with the community on the relay of faith. They are at a time when all they can recall is what has been lost. Remember last week, last Sunday, we learned that this is considered now a sermon or homily written for Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of the destruction of the temple. Consider this for just a moment. This community following Jesus and deeply rooted in Judaism is gathered on the day they remember the destruction of the temple, the day when they recall invading armies coming into Jerusalem and destroying the very home of God. And in this recollection, they are having trouble remembering Jesus, living in the Spirit, connecting to that promise of the resurrected Christ. In this moment of living in loss, the future seems impossible to see. When Claire was moving out of three-year-old preschool, she also could not envision her future. Hebrews steps forward, this homily of hope amid grief, and reminds us that faith is not a sprint. It is not a journey taken solo. It is a relay. A race where we pass on the baton from stage to stage so that God's glory can be proclaimed and the gospel of Christ preached and lived. In this text, this homily of hope, we are reminded, in this quote from Hebrews, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. A race that is ever-changing and always moving towards that gospel finish line of God's realm as it is on earth. We will face many stages on this journey. Some will be short, others will be long, some will be flat and straight, while others will climb mountains and curve through the forest. This congregation has done amazing things over the last 150 plus years, and these strides will continue. Faith is a journey, and that journey is guided by God and the Spirit in directions that none of us can ever truly predict. Imagine for a moment, step back in time to the 1860s. Imagine if Father Taylor had chosen to stay in the familiar world of Vermont. If he had never set out on that long walk that took him west. If he had been so saddened and scared of the changes that lay ahead that he had neglected to follow God's call. Or, what if he had followed his calling and only stopped, and only gone so far, stopped at Fort Dodge, decided this was it, that he could not, would not travel north? Where would we be? Had Father Taylor never come to Algona, at least four of the churches in town would never have been founded. Not our church, not the Methodists, not the Presbyterians, the three churches he founded directly, and not the Evangelical Free Church, founded out of our Presbyterian cousins in Christ. They would not be here either. Growth comes when, in spite of the challenge of change, the uncertainty of heeding a call before the vision has been fully formed, we move forward. When we remember that we are part of a denomination descended from pilgrims who came to these shores sight unseen because they knew they believed that God has yet more light to bring forth from his holy word. Part of a denomination that proclaims God is still speaking. And this is a God who does not speak in only one way or at only one time or through only one mouth. It is a God who comes to us, whoever we are, wherever we are on life's journey, and speaks to us in our language and in our way. A message that shines forth in different ways on different legs of the journey. A message that this congregation is and will always be uniquely gifted to proclaim. And to do this, we must pass on the baton so that it may be carried through the next leg of the journey, carried by one whose gifts are suited to the very terrain ahead. It reminds me of a classmate of mine who did competitive cycling. Now, until meeting John, now not John Scuffham, I don't think you do competitive cycling. It had never occurred to me that cycling is a team sport, more like a relay combined with a marathon than anything else. But it is true. Each rider is encouraged to ride their hardest on that leg of the race that matches their skill set. Just look to the Bible. The list Hebrews gives us when we are reminded, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Each of these carriers of the faith lived out their mission, their calling, and brought the people of God to that next step of the journey. As a church, we are on a journey and living out a calling that is with us and yet beyond us. We have found our vision and are moving it forward, grown into the leading of Jesus as one who welcomes all and ministers on the edge. We are a church on the very edge of ministry, growth, change, and joy, a congregation that is known for its welcome, hospitality and hope, a community of firsts and a place where God is still speaking. And this will not change as the next step on this journey is entered and the baton is passed. On this relay of faith, we are moving from reflection, preparation, and discernment into action, from internal growth to external outreach, a relay we have witnessed over and over again. Jesus ministered and passed on his ministry to the disciples. He came as Messiah, brought the message and reality of salvation, went to the cross to carry our sin and suffering, and in his resurrection brought with him the Spirit to empower the disciples to carry on his witness. Moses brought the law, brought his people to the very edge of the promised land, and then, when his gifts had passed, gave the leadership to Joshua, who carried his people into that land of milk and honey, that land promised to their ancestors. I would never equate ministers with Moses, but I can tell you that you have moved from Moses into Joshua. You are ready to enter into the promised land, ready to move forward in mission and enter into the gift you have been given. Joshua will lead you. Your Joshua will carry you into faith, into wonder and witness. Just as Moses and Israel did much work to get to the edge of Canaan, so too have we done great work together to get to that edge. We have defined our mission, are working to set a vision, and have grown in the past 2 years as a congregation, a community, and a vocal presence as a church of firsts and wide welcome. It is time to move on to Joshua, to call a leader that can push this congregation forward over Jordan and into the promised land. Will it be easy? Not always. Will it be smooth? This can be a hope and prayer, but is not guaranteed. What it will be is filled with power and wonder, filled with the gifts of the Spirit and the call of God, filled with those fires and flames of Pentecost and the wonder of God's holy presence, filled with the presence of that great cloud of witnesses that has carried us this far, and will carry First Congregational United Church of Christ over Jordan into the Promised Land. A congregation where, whoever you are, wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Let us pray. God of Moses and God of Joshua, God of the people on the edge of Jordan, and the same God who carried them across that river into the land of promise, be with us as we cross our own Jordan. Be with us as we find our Joshua, who can lead us forward into Canaan. Be with us as we build up the promised land and share your promise of hope and grace with all who might come, in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.